Today we've been examining some of the many elements of schools and education with the help of experts from a variety of fields of work. Now let's turn to someone who has been on, let's say, on the battlefield, so to speak. Teaching has a goal attached to it, having a child leave a school better prepared for a life of self-sufficiency with greater intellect and ability of critical thinking, parts of that goal, to say the least. How was that goal achieved? Ideas, well, they're a great starting point. Eyes, ears, along with mind are important tools that teachers and administrators have to utilize as well. My next guest is a school teacher and administrator with 40 years of not just ideas, but experience and results. She has compiled all this in her new book, which I think is a tremendous tool for teachers and parents. The book is The Magical Place We Call School, Creating a Safe Place for Learning and Happiness in a Challenging World by Dr. Kathleen Corley. Thank you so much for being here today, Doctor.
Thank you. I appreciate being here.
The Magical Place We Call Schools.com is the website where you'll learn more about Dr. Corley's book, which is not just analysis. I was saying to Dr. Corley before we started, answers, and you've really provided, I think, teachers a guide, a map in a way for achieving the goals of education. And you've also, I think, are empowering parents with your book to learn what they should rightfully expect from their teachers, administrators, and the school systems. And that's really a part of what you write about, too. It's a multifaceted effort to make school work for the kids.
That's what I was aiming for, and you've capsulized it perfectly.
With the idea of, you get to focus on the student that you're teaching and understanding them before you try to get them to understand what you're going to teach them, in a manner of speaking. It might be a long way of, confusing way of saying something, but to understand the child is important for a teacher to be able to educate that child.
You're describing one portion in the book. I didn't invent the saying. It's been around for a long time. It says Maslow before Bloom. And those are two psychologists. Maslow worked on the softer side of things, and Bloom worked on the intellectual side of things. Bloom is sort of our rabbi. He says the absolute lowest form of teaching is conveying knowledge. If you add comprehension to that, you've stepped up one rung on the ladder. If you're asking students to apply what they know, that's another rung. If you want analysis, synthesis, and evaluation, those are the next three rungs. Basically, what he's saying is you can teach the skills, and yes, we need to teach skills like reading and writing and math, but you'll truly know if students understand it if you give them an opportunity to apply it, analyze it, synthesize it. Now, Maslow said, and just like you did, Maslow said, hold on there, Bloom. Unless his basic needs are met, you can't even start on all that Bloom stuff. Because if he's living in trauma, you first need to know, does he have water? Does he have food? Does he have clothing? Does he have a place to sleep? And you're working your way toward safety, love and belonging, self-esteem, and self-actualization. So it's very hard for a child to focus on analyzing anything or even learning the content, the lowest form, if he's terminally in trauma or it just happened that day. If his dog died last night, today's going to be a rough day. And we ask parents, when things like that happen, you don't even have to tell us what it is. Just let us know. Tim's going to have a rough day today. Just thought you should know. And a little more TLC for Tim, and try to find out if he wants to talk to somebody about it. And then we can try to get the train back on the tracks so we can do the learning.
Well, if Tim wants to stand up in class and talk about that, because a lot of times a child might think it's only them that's this is happening to or has ever happened to.
Sure.
And by sharing the experience, they'll find out there's a unity out there that will support them. And that also flies in the face, too, what so many, I guess, the knee-jerk reaction is if Jimmy is starting to misbehave. Let's alienate Jimmy because he's disrupting the rest of the class. That's the exact wrong way to go with Jimmy.
Right. Pretty much all behavior is communication. Child's trying to tell you something. And I'm not going to the, you know, the bleeding heart snowflakey thing that's like, oh, poor Jimmy, there must be something wrong. No, he's doing what he thinks he can do to change the circumstances. And cutting up in class or disrupting class, those aren't the way to go. So from a principal side of things, so he's interrupting class. Jimmy's a third grader, and he's done this 3 times today in different classes. So now he's sent to me, and I'm saying, okay, teacher A says this, and teacher B says this, teacher C says this. Did you do all those things? And he'll probably say yes, especially if he wants some help. I'll say, okay, what were you trying to do? He'll likely say, I don't know, and I don't like to take I don't know as an answer. Sometimes it's even a shoulder shrug. I go, you're not even going to say I don't know? Come on now. So we try to get past that. You need to know. Well, I don't know. I'm just not happy. Okay, whatever it is that you need, that thing that you keep doing, how's that working for you? What do you mean? Well, did it work? I mean, did you try to get here to talk to me? Because if you did, there are much easier ways. Or do you want to talk to somebody else? Is there something we can help you with? And it's not usually as easy as then he pours his heart out to you. But you get somewhere, and he may see you in the hallway later that day and say, can we still have that talk? Because I can only do the superficial talk then. Well, you need to not do that. But that's not very helpful because we're not addressing whatever the problem is. But he'll probably let us in at some point or another. And I make a big point of, you don't have to tell me anything. Can you find an adult here who you want to talk to? And sometimes it's like, oh, yeah, I could do that. They don't think of it. But they're trying to communicate something, and they don't know how to communicate it. And it may be something that they've been told by their parents not to communicate. But we don't know any of that until they share a little bit. Then we can fix whatever's wrong, maybe, and then move on from there so he can get to his next challenge that hopefully isn't one that he's living with.
Dr. Kathleen Corley, her book, The Magical Place We Call School, themagicalplacewecallschool.com, the website. Learn more, and more importantly, get a copy of this book. As you're hearing Dr. Corley say, it's teaching is not simply steps on a board like a game would be. You roll the dice and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It could go a variety of directions based upon the circumstances. And a good teacher, to me, it sounds like Dr. Corley, is knowing how to, almost like a public speaker, read the room so you can connect with the audience.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And sometimes those ideas come to teachers at night, and they have a pad of paper and a pen sitting next to the bed, and they can't wait to further explore that idea, find a thought partner at school and say, hey, I want to try this because that concept we were having trouble teaching yesterday, I think I've nailed it. I think I found a way to do it that most of the students are going to really be happy to learn it that way. Now, you're not going to get everybody with anything, usually. You get a lot of the class interested. And that's great feedback for the teacher, and it's energizing. It's fuel so that they can go on to other things. And it's amazing to watch happy teachers who are happy because the children were so excited about it. If it's something they're going to go home and tell their parents about, the teacher is ecstatic. And it's always related to the standards. It's not fluff. It's not, hey, let's do this silly thing because we saw it on TikTok or something. It's related to the curriculum, but it's done in such an inventive way that kids are just drawn into it.
That's also not like with so many schools, the new age schools, I call them. Well, the child will come around to want to read or want to learn math or want to confront that problem. No, there are gentle, caring ways to bring that child forward instead of waiting for that child as that child falls further and further behind. I want to move over to the other side of the equation. Now, I don't say this to make you sound ancient, because both of us are up there in the calendar, but You've been around to see change. And if we talked about earlier here on the show, bullying, school bullying, cyberbullying, gun violence, and the increase of that. How adaptive have schools been, and where do you see as the greatest focus has to be, as opposed to, well, we'll be in denial a little longer, maybe the problem will solve itself?
Those problems are definitely not going to solve themselves. If you're a 12-year-old girl waking up in the morning dreading to go to school because you're going to be picked on by a particular person or a particular group or a handful of people, that is no way to live. And it doesn't matter why they're picking on you. It really doesn't. You can't live that way. That is not sustainable. That's living in trauma. It can't happen. So we need to know when there are situations like that. And usually we can catch it pretty early. Middle schools and high schools, that's tougher because things are more insidious. Kids are sneakier about things. And the victim doesn't necessarily want to say something. We talk a lot with children about standing up for themselves in a verbal way. Like, did you ever say, the two boys sort of fighting with each other, you know, a push and nasty words and nasty words. And you ask them what happened. And, well, he said something that I didn't like. Yeah, what did you do? I looked at him, and then I said something. Okay, did that work? Well, no, because he pushed me, and then I pushed him back. Yeah, right. Where was the part where you said, I don't like it when you do that? Did you say that? No. I said, he has no business saying what he said. But the quickest way to make it stop, or at least figure out where he is in your life, is to say, I have a problem with you when you do that. And if he doesn't care about you at all, he'll say, I don't give a rip. And then you go find a teacher, but definitely walk away, because you don't need that in your life. He obviously doesn't care about you. But give him the opportunity. Like, he said a thing, maybe thought it was a joke. That's usually the excuse. I was just kidding. No, you're not. You don't know him well enough to kid like that. So you need to, son, figure out what you want to say. Be ready for it the next time. And it can be gentle, like, hey, man, I thought you were my friend. And, like, I wouldn't say that to you. Oh, sorry, man. Hey, we're done. But kids, even teenagers, don't really sometimes work that out because their faces in a screen, sometimes a little one like a phone and sometimes a bigger one like a laptop, and they become sometimes keyboard warriors and still say nasty things. And it doesn't help anybody. It spirals downward instead of upward.
We have to wrap up here, and I could go on talking with Dr. Curley for the entirety of the show, quite frankly. That's how valuable I think her book is. And for you as a school teacher, administrator, and a parent, I want to put your focus on part two of her book, Breaking the Mold, Launching an Innovative New School, with her shared leadership approach to elementary school education, guide you toward that as you go to her website to find out more about and obtain a copy of The Magical Place We Call School. The website, of course, themagicalplacewecallschool.com. We have the link at our homepage, as always. Dr. Curley, you have created a textbook for better education. We've talked about here on the show earlier segments about the variety of aspects and elements, directions and choices, and you help put the focus on the entire package of responsibility and cause effect as well as achievement and success. Congratulations on a fantastic job and for being here today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being here.